This is Pirate Studios podcast number 21. Actually remembered this time, which is good. Yeah, you can hear Kate. Say hi, Kate.
Hi.
And we have Oddly Shrugs in the house.
Yo, happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Great to have you. How are you?
I'm good, man. Really good, actually. Nice. How are you guys?
What I normally do is do a little, like, you know, how do we know each other? Mm-hmm. So what was it? A couple of years back, Death Proof was back in the day. Pirate were doing a little, what would you call it, collaboration with Death Proof.
Yeah.
Had a studio in our West Adams site, and you were the one who used it most. So I used to swing by the studios, we'd hang out for a little bit, and I think it seemed like quite a productive time for you back then.
Yeah, for sure. Still very productive with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a fun place to come and create, make music, and I took definitely advantage of that. And bringing artists in and out of here, you know, it's just, you guys make it so easy, so. It was a lot of fun to do that, especially around Death Proof too, because it was a lot of us. So we were just always, you know, kind of like work in rotation.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Love that. Well, thank you for bringing all the artists through, and thank you for coming through yourself.
Yeah, thank you for having us, man. We need the place, you know?
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. So look, let's kick off. Obviously, I know you, but let's see. Like, who is Oddly Shrugs? You know, what pulled you into the music in the first place? Give us the backstory, if that's okay.
Cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Origin story.
So, I mean, I'm from East LA, and then... in my environment, there's a lot of like punk rockers and gangbangers, and we merge a lot. And so through that, and being like a skate park kid, you know, just naturally, like these two sounds kind of like came together for me when I started to make music. And I think that's why I have the sound that I do have, which even though it's more so post-punk, there's still like a hip hop aspect to it. And then even within my personality or the way that I carry myself. So I'm definitely, you know, like to a certain extent, like a product of my environment a little bit.
Yep.
But at the same time, I'm just, I took that and I'm growing and going with it in order to become what I'm becoming now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love it. When did it start? When did you kind of get the music bug, so to speak? Take us back.
Yeah, cool. So honestly, well, it started with skateboarding and being at Belvedere Skate Park like every day. And then it moved up to going to like dance parties at night with my friends.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. And then it was like, it went from skateboarding to just like dancing a little bit. And then after that, I started to want to make music. You know what I mean? I wanted to create the environment a little bit, and like started taking it a little more seriously and going into the studio and starting to record music. But actually, I did skip a part. I was doing a lot of graffiti in East LA. And then when I got arrested and on probation, I had to stop doing that. So I put a lot of my words and art into my books. And then the more I started to do poetry, the more I started to do it out loud. And then it just grew.
Okay. Love it.
Totally skipped that.
Yeah, no, that's a crucial part, I feel like. Definitely not in everyone's story.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I love that. Good origin story. Mm-hmm. There's a question here on Pirate and Death Proof. Obviously, I talked about that at the start. Can you give me like a little bit of a bit more on kind of what that partnership meant to you? Like you mentioned you were bringing people through, but you know, was there? I think I came in there a couple of times. There was like 10 people. Some young'uns around as well. There's like an element of, I felt like you was kind of a, what's the word, almost like mentor type ship type
cool.
thing going on there.
That's dope. I never saw it like that.
Yeah, no, that's how I saw it. But I'm interested to know like how, you know, because obviously it came about quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Would you just tell us a little bit more about it? Is that okay?
Yeah, no, for sure. So I love Death Proof. That's like my baby, you know? And then when we linked up with you guys, it felt like a mutual understanding because we prioritized like opening up a door for the people in the underground to be a part of the community, you know, who like wanted to in a way that they deserved it. So when we came together, it gave us a space to do that. And that was like what I really appreciated about it, you know, being able
absolutely.
To work with you guys and do that.
Yeah. And some like, can you remind me of some of the names of the artists? Like, because tons of them, right?
Death Proof. Oh my God. Yeah, we got NASCAR, we got Dirty Bud, we got Malice K, we got Axel, we got K Beach, we got Walt, we got Mazarat, wow. OG Abi. The list goes on, you know?
The list goes on. What I always say here and what the listeners will get really annoyed about is we'll put links to their socials and copy as well so we can kind of people can go and check them out.
Yeah, yeah, check the links in the story.
Yep, absolutely.
In the notes. So is everyone kind of the same like genre, would you say?
No, definitely not. I think that's what was cool about that group is that everybody had their own like world and element and like it was all different. So when you brought us together, it was like a circus.
Nice.
You know, the tours were wild and like, you know, like I would come out and do like some like punk, post-punk and then like some romantic music and then Dirty Butt would come out and like spin on his head, or, you know, and then like NASCAR would come out and turn the building up completely, or like Malice K would, you know, he's just like such a beautiful poet. Like, you know, you could just really tap into his emotions. Everybody had their own like way about it and it felt like little worlds all together. And like, I think that's what made us very special.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
What was the name of the night that you did? Is it Knucklehead?
Knucklehead.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bar, Knucklehead.
That was the bar. I never got down. I'm so annoyed.
Such a good bar.
Is that in downtown?
Great people. No, I think it's in, yeah, it's in Hollywood.
Oh, it's Hollywood. Yeah,
the homie Alvin. Shout out Alvin. Good dude. I love that place. But yeah, we did a lot of shows there. They were super open.
Yeah.
It's a proper name for a bar.
Knucklehead. Yeah.
Knucklehead.
Yeah. For sure.
You're not doing them anymore? Is it? Yeah, they're not happening right now, are they?
At Knucklehead? Yeah. No, they're very active. They're always doing shit.
Oh,
yeah,
sweet.
For sure. If you guys stop by, you'll probably find a band, like some dope shit for real.
Nice.
Yeah, cool. They have good taste.
All right. You want to ask this one, Kate?
Yeah, okay. So your music pulls from so many influences. How would you describe your sound? And how has it evolved over the past couple of years?
Cool. Definitely, like, individuality is, like, my biggest inspiration, you know, to kind of like innovate from things that I like in the world in order to make it into my own. And like, that's the best way to like explain it, because that's how I find freedom. You know what I mean? I'll never take something that inspires me and try to like fill it into an image and, you know, that isn't me, you know? So like, you know, definitely like just trying to find my way to innovate through the things that I see in the world, like just individually.
Yeah, okay. And would that have changed over the years at all, or was it kind of being right? I know what I want to do. This is my style.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to this rigidly. Or have you kind of seen things kind of evolve at all, or go in different directions?
Yeah.
It's okay if you haven't. If you've stuck to the same thing the whole time, then that's awesome.
Excuse me. No, definitely, it all changes all the time. You know.
Yeah.
As long as you're growing, you're gonna change. You know.
Yeah.
This is true.
So I follow that, like. All my music is very like instinct. Whatever I feel in that moment, that's what's gonna come out. If I'm angry, you're gonna probably hear about it in my music. If I'm sad, you're gonna hear it in the poetry. You know, like I never really talk about happiness in my music. But
it's overrated. You
know, happiness is boring. I keep that to myself, you know. But definitely it's always changing. I'm always striving to like find a new way to go about it, because I don't know why, but I love to challenge myself, you know, like in the moment, even when I don't notice it, if something starts to feel boring, I'll do something to make it chaotic in order to just throw myself off and figure it out. You know what I mean? Like before, I used to not prep for my shows and just wing it. And like that was a lot of fun for sure. But now I do prep a little bit more and I do a little like this and that in order to make it as powerful as possible. But I still always add the element of like instinctual approach for sure, you know.
Yeah.
And that comes with just that's why my music always grows. I'm always allowing the world to be a part of me, you know.
Yeah.
And I gotta ask, is that the same for like fashion? Like, did you plan this outfit today, or did you just like, I like this, I like this?
Yeah, I mean, well, I have a shoot today with my friend Las Noise. He's throwing a show August 22nd in LA.
Nice.
But my outfits, I definitely try to be intentional at times, you know what I mean? But sometimes I do just grab and pull and just whatever comes out. But my closet's just all black clothes, so it's always going to end up looking like something like this.
Okay, cool. I like it. Yeah.
Sweet. Kate, do you want to tell Tyler that you can't vape in here, or shall I?
Yo, Tyler, stop hitting the vape, man. It's just lame.
We don't want to add fire alarms to the ongoing building issues. There we go.
Hands, that would be an amazing interlude in this podcast episode.
Yeah.
Cigarettes only, guys.
Hasn't happened yet, has it?
I don't think from the podcast room, but it's just not as busy as the other room.
We love you, Tyler.
No, honestly, you know, like, just quick shout out. Power to everyone that smokes, but like, it's the rooms, you guys. Like, they're so sensitive, it triggers them. Sorry.
Yeah, just smoke cigarettes.
Yeah,
no, just cigarettes vape. In the studio.
I love when people ask us.
Not where I was going with it, but for sure.
People will ask us, like, can I smoke? Like, no, I'm sorry. Like, what if I pay you? Like,
it's not
tempting,
changing the fact.
No, sorry, I cannot.
I personally hate vapes myself. It seems so gluttonous.
So gluttonous?
Yeah.
You just prefer smoking or just none at all?
No, I smoke. I smoke weed and I smoke cigarettes, but I just hate that you can smoke all day long. Like,
okay,
with that,
I agree
you know?
With you. There's something about like the burning of it and then it's gone.
For sure. The, you know, like that, the crickle of a cigarette. That's what I love.
It's very ritualistic. I don't know if it's that's part of it, but yeah.
We have our lead investor and executive chairman's son, Zavi, in town on internship currently. He wants to say hi after this, just so you
know.
Yeah,
cool.
We were having this conversation earlier. He lives in Singapore and like, you know, it's illegal. You can't vape in Singapore.
Oh,
like,
what?
You can't vape
with like serious...
Whoa.
That's wild.
Wow.
And anyway, we were talking about how in LA, obviously there was a ton of people vaping everywhere. And you're right. Like the problem is you can just do it at any time.
Yeah.
Like, whether you're like, you know, on the loo or like, you know, out on a drive or whatever it might be.
I've seen people wake up in their sleep, hit their vape and go back to sleep. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Or you need oxygen. What's going on?
But for a while there, I felt like people who smoked cigarettes were, people just hated it. In Los Angeles, and now I've heard it's coming back around. It's cool
really?
Again. Yeah, because vaping is like not cool. No offense, Tyler. And we're back to smoking again. I even had a cigarette earlier.
Whoa,
it's been a long day.
Who is he? Yeah. Treat yourself,
day,
Sammy.
Yeah,
treat yourself.
Already, so. Yeah. Anyway, slight interlude on that one.
Vapes, cigarette interlude.
Yeah.
Love it. Cool.
I think I'll take this next one, shall I? We talked a bit about performances. What I did want to actually ask was on that. When you didn't prep, like, was that for how long? And why did you change to prepping? I'm using the wrong word. Prep, rehearse. What did you say?
Prepare. Yeah, you said prepare.
Yeah,
prepare,
preparation. Yeah. Well, I didn't prepare for the longest because I liked the chaos that it
I
brought
see.
And
yeah.
just having to handle whatever came.
Yeah.
And like, I'm very good at working under pressure.
Sure.
So I always handled it well. And like, my fans are so chaotic and loving at the same time that we're having fun together, you know? Like, I'm there to experience it with them. So that was cool. But the only reason that slightly has changed is because preparation is key, you know, like before you do anything, you know, even like magic, you know, if you don't prepare it correctly, the outcome is not going to be what you expect it to be. And with time, the way it works is that if you don't make a decision for yourself, it will make one for you. And I don't like when decisions are made for me.
Got it. Mm.
So there's a certain amount of things that I do prepare and I leave empty spaces for you know, freedom.
Yeah. I love that. No, honestly, the magic metaphors.
Yeah.
Snaps for you. That's
you.
Great. Love that.
Yeah. It's funny because you kind of answered the question for me without me having to ask the question, which was obviously my intent. So note that one.
Nice segue. Yeah.
But there is one part of this, which is about your mindset before stepping on stage, which you kind of alluded to, but is there any like, you know, I know it's chaos, but I'm also keen to know what's kind of changed. My headphones are slipping off. One second. What's changed between no prep and prep? Is there a mindset change? Sorry if this is like a hard one to kind of like.
No, you're good. I definitely feel that. It's become a little bit more personal and like it's like I romanticize it a little bit more to where sometimes it's just not even sometimes it is a ritual for me to go out there and like express myself to my fans. And certain songs, they're so vulnerable for me that when I do them again, it brings up certain emotions that either I have let go of or still trigger me. Mm-hmm. So due to that, I try to like, you know, I don't know, just tread softly before it cracks me.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
One for you, Kay.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. Who are some artists, past or present, that have shaped your approach to producing or performing?
Cool. I'll extra. Let me see. There's like Jim Carroll, Hunter S. Thompson, Jim Morrison, Beczynski, a painter. He makes me feel so tiny. H.R. Giger.
Did you say Kinski?
Beczynski?
Oh, Beczynski. Is that right? Different.
Am I saying that correctly?
No, no. I thought you were talking about someone else. That's
fine. Okay. He's a painter.
Yeah,
awesome
cool.
painter.
Yeah.
You know, Salvador Dali. Like, yeah, I pull from everything. I will watch a movie and a certain scene will bring out a certain emotion in me, and then I'll be like, I need to create this emotion into a project. Mm. And then that's how I go about it. So I pull from everything anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Really. And like, so yeah, these artists or these, the names that I've mentioned, these are things that have pushed me to, you know, capture these emotions and make them into like my reality through my art.
Yeah.
Anyone out there like right now that's kind of like front of that pack?
My friends.
Yeah.
All of my friends, you know, from Tyler, Clearjaw, Malice K, NASCAR, Dirty Butt, like the homie, Ryan, like the names, the list could go on, you know, and yeah. anybody that I didn't mention, you know, like, it's, you know, my bad, but I
if
love you.
If he didn't mention you, he doesn't love you.
No, yeah. Like really right now, it's my friends. And I always do look to the past for inspiration and stuff like that. But really like what motivates me the most is like seeing my friends work so hard and like, I want to work hard and I'm kind of like competitive. So I'm like, all right, bet you dropped, I'm going to drop too. Like, you know,
yes.
And it's just like, that's for sure. Yeah. So look out for my friends.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do. And yeah. We'll, like I say, we'll put them in the show notes. So.
In the show notes.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Yep.
No, I think that's really important to have like the community you surround yourself with is just like not only supportive, but inspiring.
Yeah, for sure.
I think
for
that's
sure.
really important as an artist. And yeah. And not only just like music, but like what you're saying, like painters and like I love Gonzo art and I wouldn't say that I emulate that much at all, but I enjoy it.
I love it. Absolutely.
Cool. I'm not creative in the slightest, so I can't really join in that conversation, unfortunately.
Get out of here.
However, is there a track, set, or moment that you'd say marked a turning point for you in your career? And if that's a hard one to answer, you know, just give us a recent or one that really sticks out, like a particular performance, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a few times, like, when I performed at the Whiskey A Go-Go, I took it very seriously because, like I said, Jim Morrison is like one of my biggest inspirations, and he was a regular there at one point. And I know that he used to pull up and like trip and like, you know, take a tab and perform. So when I went there, I did the exact same thing.
Oh my God.
And I felt the room. I could feel the walls. I was like, this is sick. You know what I mean? That was a really cool moment for me. The Gramercy Theater, like I'm very like a, I'm an empath to a certain extent. So when I'm in a building and I know the history of it, I try to absorb it very much. And so when I'm in these places where I feel like this is where I should be, I really take it in. And like those two moments were really cool. There was a time where like I passed out on stage and I fell, but the crowd caught me.
Oh, wow.
And then they were carrying me through the crowd. And then I woke up. I was like, oh, I'm being carried, but I couldn't talk. And I remember saying like, help, but nothing came out, and then they threw me back on stage, and I got up, and I was like, holy shit, like, I know for a fact nobody knows what just happened, like, and my friend afterwards told me, like, Nando, he was like, yo, I saw what happened, I'm not sure what that was, but yeah, I know you weren't conscious. I was like, yeah, bro, like, I literally was trying to ask someone for help, but I couldn't ask anyone for help, but like, you know, I'd never felt more alone, and then loved at the same time, you know what I mean? Wow. But that's when I realized, like, you know what, this is who I am. This is my life. You know, this is what I'm going to do. Like, you know what I mean? Life or death.
Wow.
Damn. I think you nailed the answer to that question, I'd say.
Yeah.
Do you think that the crowd had no idea that you were unconscious?
They had no idea. Right. That's why, that was the reason why I felt alone. Because I remember moving my mouth and saying help. And everybody's like, yeah, you know? And I'm just like, no, like water.
Damn.
Oh,
okay, well, yeah. Thank you for sharing that one.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
It's great you made it back on stage, though. They just, like, here you go.
I dropped. I for sure flopped, like, and then I got up, and I was like, oh, my God. But the way that I move on stage and perform, it seemed like a part of the show, you know? So that's why I understood it. But, yeah, it was an interesting moment.
Glad they caught you.
Me too.
In Texas?
Yeah, I think it was in Texas. Nice. I remember waking up in their hands. I was like, whoa.
Amazing. Wow.
Like that.
Cool.
Is this yours?
What's a challenge you've faced recently? And that's whether it's creatively or personally, but it pushed you to grow.
Having to protect my peace, because I like to give myself away a little bit to my friends, to the people I like, to the people that I love, people I meet sometimes. I'm very giving. And if we're talking and you bring up an issue, I want to figure out how to help you with that. Like, all of a sudden everything goes blank. I'm like, what are we going to do to fix that, you know? And then it's just like I find myself kind of like surrendering too much. And so trying to like not be that way is hard for me. Because I just want to be there for people so much. But it's just like, I know that that's not always going to serve me in the way that I need it to. Mm-hmm. You know, for like the greater good of what I'm trying to do for myself and the people that I love the most. And I want to be able to just be that for the people that actually value my time. Yeah, so just protecting my peace and then allowing myself to put more time into things that are more important in my life.
Okay.
Like health or like creating or taking the time to finish something, you know what I mean? Like, and instead of just kind of like allowing someone else to take my time that just really doesn't deserve it, you know?
True.
And a lot of the times I didn't see it like that. I didn't see it like, you don't deserve my time. I just see myself like trying to help. Yeah. You know, like, and so, like, I'm pretty sure that happens, like, you know, to a lot of us to a certain extent. But, yeah, I just, like, having to take myself away from giving to everyone hurts a little bit.
Sure.
But it's okay, you know?
Yeah. And that's, like, considered growth as well. So, like, do you look back now at, you know, yourself as an artist and think, you know, 5 years ago I would have handled this quite differently, and because of the way that you've grown, you're like, okay, I've got the tools now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, in a way, I don't regret anything because I had to go through that in order to understand how I'm going about it now. Yeah.
Right.
But like now that I know that, I can take my power back. You know, like, oh, you don't deserve that. Like, that's crazy. I'm not going to do that with you or help you with that or even respond. You know, I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
for sure. So I'm okay with the lessons that I had to go through in order to do me.
Yeah, and just because you can help someone doesn't mean you need to help someone.
Yeah.
It's someone's job and not your job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that. I feel that.
Absolutely. This next question is on emerging artists. We've talked about other artists in the Death Proof Collective, and it actually alludes to collectives too. Anyone outside of Death Proof that you've got your eye on, or even within, that you'd like to highlight, call out, tell us who we should be listening to?
Dude.
Along those lines?
For sure, Tyler. You need to check out his music. He's one of my best friends. Yeah, we're changing your name to Tyler the Vapor.
That goes hard, though, actually.
The Vapor. Oh, my God.
We probably should address the fact that there is someone called Tyler in the room. Tyler, sorry for giving you the shit about the vaping. Yeah. I just really didn't want the fire alarm to go off.
It will.
Can he come in and wave to the camera? There we go. Yeah, that's Tyler. How do you know Tyler?
We met through mutual friends who make like a different type of music, and they were like, you guys should meet, you guys make similar type of music. And then when we met, that's it, we were inseparable.
Nice.
Love it.
Yeah. But for sure him, my good friend Clearjaw from New York, Slay Squad is going crazy. They're like Death Proof Associates, you know, but like they were kind of like outside, but now they're just really doing really well for themselves.
Yep.
My friend Heffy, he's really dope. I love him. You know what I mean? Oh my God, this could really go on.
What might happen is I'll send you a list after this, and you can give me all of their, you know, at least tell me how to spell their names, so I know where to start.
For
and then
sure,
we can make sure we capture everyone. But it sounds like there's a lot of talent out there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Like, you know, I mean, the underground right now, like, you know, it could be a little bit stretched thin and watered down, but there is some people that like deserve, you know, the eyes.
Yeah. Are they all LA based or at least?
No, like, there's for sure like LA, North Carolina, like for Mozzie there. He's starting a band with Abby next April. And then in New York and like Brooklyn, we got like a bunch of people out there. That's where like my friend Clearjaw and like Kill Filler are good people. So many people out there that are really dope, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Don't come to mind right now, but like, yeah, these are the people that like motivate me for sure.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, nice. I mean, one of the things that part of the reason why you're on this podcast is that, you know, we've kept in touch since the Death Proof collaboration days. Mm-hmm. And Oddly's always coming to me with some like pretty awesome ideas. Remember the music festival we were hoping to get off the ground? Just wasn't the right time.
Yeah.
And now we're thinking about maybe getting something going. You mentioned a couple of our artists who could be interested.
Yeah.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I love the fact that you're always kind of like thinking of ideas and scheming for ways that we could kind of collaborate and work together.
For sure.
I appreciate that.
This is our environment and the world that we're creating. So, you know, we just got to like put each other together for, you know, be each other's resources. Yeah. You know, if we're actually trying to do something together.
Absolutely.
Because like for me, like working here is like an advantage because like it allows me to bring my friends that I really want to work with, musicians that I really want to like, you need to play this guitar and you need to play this bass and I'll record you. And like, you know, spaces like that like are really important right now, you know, for people that can actually make use of it.
Yeah.
You know, so this is a great place to do that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Wow, that's funny because the next question is around Pirate itself.
Love that.
But you've said some nice things about Pirate, and I'm pretty sure you like our product and our services. So we don't need to go too much into that now because I've paid you the money. You've said the good things.
Yeah. And, thanks for fluffing our egos.
And we're good. However, I do want to know.
You got to ask it.
Yeah. Do you want to know if there's anything that you would change about Pirate or if there's anything you hate about Pirate?
We need more darkness. No, honestly, I think you guys are doing great, but maybe just more open community stuff, like with more people involved, you know, because it's cool to like to be in the studio by yourself and stuff. Like that's not an issue for me whatsoever. But like, you know, like maybe just more moments where you could interact with more people at once.
Sure.
Just like, I don't know, something like that.
Have you ever been to one of our events or not?
We had a music release here. I think it was for NASCAR.
Oh yeah, that was. I'm trying to remember. That was predominantly online, was it? Maybe. Oh.
I remember in one of the rehearsal rooms there was something.
What did they do? Like did they play? It was like a listening party, or
yeah, okay. Yeah. I think that's what it was. And a few people came through, and just like listened to someone release music.
Okay.
And, but I thought that was really cool, though. Really,
yeah.
I really
that's cool.
Like love doing things like that.
We are aware that we could be doing more. We do run 3 events, soon to be 4. Every month. So you definitely should come and check one out.
Yeah.
Trying to get that jam. Get the jam.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
get
there.
The jam.
We have an open mic tomorrow in West Adams.
Oh, okay.
But the one I imagine you might be most interested in is the Orcs event, where you get to come and like play some new music in front of a bunch of people and you kind of battle off against others. Sometimes you bring A&Rs down and stuff like that. So.
Oh, word. That sounds dope.
No,
that
it's cool. It's great for like, it's really good for like emerging artists and also kind of people who maybe haven't like played out in front of. So obviously you're experienced and whatnot, but like a lot of people love it because it gives them that platform for their first time in front of a a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
A very that kind of good environment to do that. So and then we have like a open sessions, which is all like DJ based as well.
Okay.
Do you know anything about the new event, Lab? Or have you not even heard about it?
I don't even know that.
Doesn't matter.
What happened to jam?
Yeah.
I want jam. I'm a guitarist and singer,
okay,
and I just want to jam.
Yeah. That would be sick, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe switch, go in rotation with musicians, you know?
Exactly. Like,
that'd be sick.
Sometimes I know different places like, we're probably going to learn like some of these songs. If you want to like literally jam for like an hour on this one song and it's jammy. And
oh my God. That, or like the way jazz goes about it. If you were to rotate musicians and just freestyle.
Yeah.
You know, and see what happens.
Right. See what happens.
That would be crazy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You get some spoken poetry going.
I think Lab is meant to be, I'm probably not supposed to be talking about this. It's meant to be stick some producers together producers and artists together and just like get them to make a track within a time period.
Oh, okay. Like in one night?
Yeah. Like 3 hours or something.
Okay, I've done something kind of like that where like we had a house band and they just literally like made something up and then we had to come up with lyrics and it's cool. It's fun. And you definitely get to know your partner really well.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Let's see. I might have completely butchered that.
Yeah, way to go.
But we'll see. Yeah. Should really know more about these kind of things.
For sure.
But yeah, so before we go, we need to introduce a track. So you've sent me something. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. But what we'll do is we'll get you to introduce it and then we'll lay it in after so everyone can hear it. But we'll do that at the end because it's always nice to kind of end with that.
Yeah, cool.
But before we do that, and the reason it wasn't in front of me here, but I saw you mentioned something on August 22nd. Is there anything you'd like to call out in terms of terms of when this might come out? I'm hoping kind of early August.
Okay, cool.
So there's a couple backed up at the moment. One with Feathers.
Yeah, you can push that one.
To my left here.
You can push that one.
So yeah, anything you want to call out?
Definitely,
it could be your own shows, could be others. Just, a chance to talk.
Actually something really fun that I'm actually really excited about is August 22nd, Lost Fest. My friend Lost Noise, I mentioned to you earlier, he's a videographer, but he's dabbling with throwing shows and he put together like a lineup that I think is really cool. It's like me, Slay Squad, Malice K, Kill Vane, somebody else. a few more people.
Yeah, you got a few of them there.
And it's going to be at 1720, but I'm really excited about that because I'm also going to be shooting an episode for one of my friends who's like, it's going to be like a reality TV show type of thing with like kind of like my perspective for my corner of the world and in a kind of like a day in a life thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be able to do it that day.
Yep.
And then I'm going to shoot everything, you know, like wake up, go to the studio, go eat, whatever, et cetera. And then do the show with all my friends. And it's like my actual scene, you know, it's going to be cool to actually like be able to express it in that way. And then everybody on that lineup, they're all really good friends of mine. So those are the type of shows that I really like to do. So that was going to be really cool.
August 27th. What was it called again?
Lost Fest.
Lost Fest. Mm-hmm. And where is it?
1720 in LA.
1720. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's going to be cool.
Sweet.
Nice.
Okay. Can you just introduce the track that you sent to me? Tell us a little bit about it.
Loveless Lies the Artist. And it's just kind of like dealing with someone who doesn't know the word accountability.
All right. Anyone we all know one, huh? No.
There's many.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, thank you.
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Tyler too. Thanks for coming on, Tyler.
Yeah.
Mostly Audley. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.